Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. Again, we come before you seeking, Father, a blessing from you, seeking your word that it might have free course in our hearts, that you would bless your servants this day, Father. We ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and cause each one of us to rejoice before you because of the blessings from on high that you're sharing with us this day. We thank you for the brethren of like precious faith. We thank you for filling the house today, Father, with brethren who are seeking your face, who want to get to know you, to get to a point in their lives, Father, where you are their best friend. We ask, Father, that you would reveal yourself to your people this day, that you would bless each one, that you would touch the lives, Father, of those that are seeking a blessing from you. You know, Father, our frame and how frail we are. And we ask, Father, that you would correct us in measure, because truly we do love you. We thank you for calling us out of this sinful world, Father. Help us to be a beacon of light to all those who are around us who are seeking your face, that they would come to us asking of the Mighty One, the Living El, Yahweh, the Most High, whom we worship. Help us, Father, to share with those around us that which you've called us to do. Help us to stand up against those who are wicked and stand up to those principalities in high places, Father. We know that we can do all things through you and through your Holy Spirit and through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. It's only through his shed blood that we have this faith and that we have this power. So we thank you, Father, for raising us up in these last days to do your will and your work. And we ask, Father, that as this word goes forth throughout this earth with the power and authority that you've given us, we ask, Father, that you would help each one of us be a humble servant of yours, not seeking our own glory, Father, but giving that glory to you, who deserve all the praise and all the glory. We thank you again for all you've done for us in our life, health, and strength. Through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. Are you inspired of Yahweh? That's the title of the message today. Are you inspired of Yahweh? How has Almighty Yahweh inspired you this week? How has he touched your life? Each one of us is a blessing. We may not realize it every day, but we're a blessing. There's only one of you, and he created you to be a special person for him. Very few people seem to find their true calling in life. We've talked about that recently in this series that I was preaching on Moses and his life, which was a step and a guide to faith. Moses was a special type of individual, yet he was no more special than any of us. You think about it. His life, his parents had faith, great faith, that they were able to place him in that Nile River in with the crocodile. They turned him over to Yahweh, and Yahweh took care of him, just like each one of us. Yahweh will take care of us. All we have to do is follow the pathway that he's designed for our lives. Now, when you think about inspiration and being inspired, what does it mean to be inspired? See, some people think I'm an inspired singer, or I'm inspired to do what I do for a living. You know, they have a gift with their hands, so they may be a great mechanic. Okay? And whatever you do, it tells us to do it with all your might. We're supposed to do that. But in Revelation chapter 22, we're going to start over there. Revelation chapter 22, we're starting from the end of the book. the beginning. Revelation chapter 22, 6. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And Yahweh, the Elohim of spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am he that heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he says to me, see that you do it not. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brethren, the prophets, and with them that keep the words of this book. Worship Yahweh. See, John fell down at the foot of this angel to worship the angel. And the angel let him know that you don't worship me, worship Yahweh. And this is the key to where we're coming from and what we believe. Too many people out here are in idolatry. And if you know anybody that's in the Catholic Church, one of the things that they do, they worship these little statues and, you know, these saints, see, which is contrary to the scriptures. And a lot of the different groups, and I just came out of one not long ago, and that's one of the things that happened. They were worshiping a man, okay? The man was a representative of Yahweh. And he was trying to serve Yahweh and do the work of Yahweh. But what happens is some people, they lose focus. They kind of become misguided. And when you become misguided, what happens? Go in the wrong direction. Because we're supposed to worship Yahweh, and him only shall you serve. We don't worship man. We don't serve man. We worship Yahweh. See? And what he teaches us and tells us is what inspires us to do his will. Are you inspired of Yahweh? Is the question I have for you today. Now, I'm going to read this passage that I started off with in Revelation 22, 6 to 9. I want to read it in a different version. Okay. The video is up, brethren. If you want to go to the video, those who are on the phone. I can't do that. I just thought about it. I don't have internet on this computer. But anybody have the NIV?
Oh, yeah.
NIV. Can you bring that out, and then I'll read it. But let's go to the next scripture, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. It says, the word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at the time, the king of Babylon's army was besieging Jerusalem. We talked about this earlier because it happened during the month of Av, the fifth month. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard. He was in prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why did you prophesy and say in this manner, says Yahweh, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now, Jeremiah was doing Yahweh's will. So he was prophesying according, because he was inspired of Yahweh. See? He was just doing what Yahweh told him to do. Now, when Yahweh speaks to one of us and tells us to do a certain thing, we have to do that certain thing. Whatever it is that he tells us to do. have a NIV. I want to go back and read this passage, the first passage, as well as the passage that I'm reading. There's a point here I want to make. All the way to the back. Revelation chapter 22:6. Okay. In verse 6 it says, and this is in the NIV, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Yahweh, the Elohim of the Spirit of the prophet, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. I'm turning over to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 3, it says, for Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why did you prophesy and say in this manner, says Yahweh? Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it, and Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth. And his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he will bring Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, says Yahweh. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. So if Yahweh tells us a specific thing that's going to happen in our lives, okay, it's going to happen. See, we can't fight against it. That's what happened to the Jewish people. They were told by Jeremiah, you're going into captivity. Now, there's a reason for that, okay? Not all of the Jews were bad individuals. Not all of them were those who were not keeping the covenant. The majority of them didn't. Therefore, they went into captivity for 70 years. And this is what Jeremiah told them. This is the word of Yahweh. He spoke the inspired word. He told them what was going to happen in their lives. Now, we can read this book and see what's going to happen in our lives. If we do thus and so. If we do the commandments, we're going to receive the blessing. If we don't do the commandments, we're going to receive the curses. That's pretty black and white. Okay? Now, some, regardless, and when I say some, because there will be some who are going to give their lives for the faith. And there are some that's going to be protected throughout the whole tribulation, okay? Which is going to be the worst time this earth has ever seen. But we can prepare ourselves and prepare our lives by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which comes through this, comes through Yahweh's word. Yahweh has given us his word, his promises, for all those who will keep them, who want to be in that kingdom that's soon coming upon this earth. See, most people have been taught things that are not true. We've been taught lies. I know a lot of little guys out here, I know I was a little guy at one time, and I was taught that in December, you know, this big, fat white, jolly individual was going to come and bring me presents. Okay? And trust me, when I found out that this was a lie, and there are people who are devastated to this day because their parents lied to them. You understand? And I'm talking adults who have not been able to recover from that lie. Because, you know, this is my parent. I love them. I trust them. And for them to tell me something that's not true, that's devastating. Okay?
You just mix two words around, SAT.
Oh, we know who it is. We know who it is.
That's the author of deception.
That's right. And that's his whole point.
Right.
He's the father of lies. When Yahshua told the leaders of Judaism that you are of your father the devil, you know, that would blow so many people away and move them back because they feel that these people have the oracle of Yahweh. They know. They've been given the truth. We're going to look at some of that in this message. Okay? But you receiving that oracle of truth, you receiving that blessing from Almighty Yahweh, it only benefits you if you do it. See? You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not doing it or using it, it's no benefit. See? And there are many people like that out in the world, trust me, that know they have the knowledge, but they're not doing the will of Yahweh. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. And this is what Jeremiah was trying to get his people to understand. We've sinned against Yahweh. Now we're going into captivity. And you got to accept it. But they didn't want to accept it. Verse 6 of Jeremiah 32. And Jeremiah said, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, behold, Hananel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, shall come to you, saying, buy my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. In the Jewish law, they have this right of redemption through the family members. If someone dies and hasn't raised up a child or seed, they were supposed to get their brother's wife and go in and raise a child for their brother. Now, if that person that died had a parcel of ground, that woman came along with that parcel of ground. But this is not about deliberate marriage right now. This is about that property that I'm speaking of. And so they came to Jeremiah saying, you know, you have the right of redemption. It's yours to buy. And this is his cousin that came to him. So Hanamel, my uncle's son, okay, so that's his cousin, came to me in the court of the guard according to the word of Yahweh and said to me, buy my field. I pray you, that is in Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours. And the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of Yahweh. Okay? This is Jeremiah saying, now then I knew that this was the word of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh didn't directly speak to him about this buying this land, right? But the word of Yahweh came to him and said, you need to buy this land. Now, we are spoken to in dreams and visions. But the inspiration of Yahweh will come to you. And you have to know, how do you know that it's of Yahweh? Well, one of the things is, it's going to come true. Too often, people said, you know, heard Yahweh speaking to me and told me to do thus and so. But if thus and so doesn't come to pass, then you know Yahweh has not spoken to him. Now, this is the other thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, just hold your finger in Jeremiah 32. But turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 13. It says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, okay? He performs a sign or a wonder. And the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh Elohim proves you to know whether you love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall not walk after Yahweh Elohim. You shall walk after Yahweh Elohim and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. See? And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken rebellion against Yahweh Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to draw you aside out of the way which Yahweh Elohim commanded you to walk in. So shall you put away the evil from among you. See, because there are people out here who are going to tell you that they know Yahweh, and they're sinning. And if they're out there sinning, they're telling you they know Yahweh, you should know better. Then they don't, because their lives aren't bearing out the truth. Now, Revelation, another passage I want to bring out at this time. Revelation chapter 13. See, these things are about to come to pass in the earth, because we saw there when it talks about a great sign being shown. Okay, in Revelation 13, in verse 11, it says, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And we know the dragon from Revelation 12, 13 is Satan the devil. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast. And that's not Yahweh. You understand? And if they're worshiping someone other than Yahweh, it's false worship. And it says that he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he does great signs, that he should even make fire to come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. So when you see this fire coming down out of heaven, are you going to immediately run and say, oh, what great signs you do, and follow them? You understand? What does it say back in Deuteronomy? I mean, you know, back in the Word there. What did it say? He does that to prove you, to see whether you're going to worship Yahweh, or you're going to stay faithful to him or not. Now, back in Jeremiah chapter 32, we were talking about this rite of redemption. And this is very important for us to understand, because what's going on right now is that Babylonians are knocking at the door. They're about to take Jerusalem. They're about to take the Jews into captivity. They're about to take these people away for 70 years. Yet what does Jeremiah do? He buys the land. He still does what he's told to do. In verse 9 it says, and I bought the field that was in Anathoth of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the deed and sealed it and called witnesses and weighed him the money in the balance. So I took the deed of purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I delivered the deed of the purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Nethaniah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the deed of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the guard. Because at the door, at the gate, is where the elders stood to judge the people. See? So when you came in, they saw you coming in. They saw you going out. See? There's a reason for that. And that's where they would go and do that judgment. And even over in the book of Ruth, where Boaz had to go and take care of business to be able to marry Ruth, he went to the gate, to the elders, and performed this ritual ceremony that they do of tying, you know, they call him the house of him that has his shoe loose. But he's passing on the inheritance to the next in line. And Boaz was that next in line, because the other man said, and so I won't mess up my own inheritance, I'm passing it on to you. Just like Hanamel said to Jeremiah. He gave him the right of redemption to buy this property. And with that property came Ruth the Moabitess for Boaz. And that's why he raised up seed, you know, the lineage of our Savior. Now, drop down to verse 16. It says, now after I had delivered the deed of the purchase to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to Yahweh, saying, our sovereign Yahweh, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. And by your outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you. Now, you think about your life. What you went through this past week, was there anything that happened to you that Yahweh cannot correct or change? Nothing. This next week, the same. This is why we have to understand that Yahweh being first and foremost in our life is the priority. Because when he is there, and first and foremost in your life, and you're inspired of him, you're going to do the right things. You're going to say the right things. You're going to inspire the right people. Because there are other people watching you. You understand? Even if it's just your children. But there are other people who see what's going on in your life. They're looking at the way you walk. I remember many years ago, okay, we live in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. It's like, you know, we on this little island. It's like an oasis. It's a small city. Very little everything, okay? And we have this house with all these kids. So, of course, all the kids want to hang out. Because of our faith, our kids don't hang out elsewhere. They hang at home. So everybody's there. We have 30 kids around. And the kids see us. They see our life. They see, and they know Friday evening is the Sabbath. We're getting ready. You know, some of them want to participate. Others that don't, you know, got to go. They go. But down the road, several of these young people saw some of my kids out on Friday evening. They said, oh, you know you're not supposed to be out. You're supposed to be home. It's the Sabbath. And they said, oh, no, what happens is this is summertime. Okay. Sundown is not till 8:30. You know, they saw them around 7, and they knew from, you know, in the past that sundown, Friday, they had to be home because that's when our family all gets together. And it's a blessing because we have such a large family. We get together. It's good to see everybody and, you know, we hear about their week, but it's Yahweh's time. See? But what I'm saying is, and I said this little story because I wanted you to understand that even those friends of theirs knew about the Sabbath. See? Even to this day, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, they keep the Sabbath. It's important that we understand that people are watching. They're truly watching you. And when you take his covenant in your heart and make that a part of your life, they're going to judge you for it. Okay? Now, we're hoping that they see it and they want to come praise Yahweh and give glory to him. But we know there is nothing too hard for Yahweh, as it says here in verse 17, who shows loving kindness to thousands and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty El, Yahweh of hosts, is his name. And that's important that we share that name with all those who we come in contact with. Because they're going to ask you about it. What's so different about you today, Sister Johnson? What's so different about you, Brother David? They're going to ask you about it. And you know why? Because we have taken on that spirit of the Most High. Verse 19, it says, great in counsel and mighty in work, whose eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man. Yahweh knows everything we do. To give to everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing, who set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day, both in Israel and among other men, and made you a name as at this day, and brought forth your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror, and gave them the land, this land which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. We used to say the land of ice cream. Milk and honey. Think about it. Everybody loves ice cream. And they came in and possessed it. But they obeyed not your voice, neither walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you have commanded them to do. Therefore you have caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounds, they have come to the city to take it. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what you have spoken has come to pass. And behold, you see it, and you have said to me, O sovereign Yahweh, buy yourself the field for money. Call witnesses, whereas the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Yeah, but Jeremiah is not questioning Yahweh. He's not questioning Yahweh. See? A lot of us would question, like, what's going on? The land is about to be taken over by a foreign people. Yet, you're telling me to spend my money and buy this seal. Like I'm going to be able to keep it. But see, Yahweh does these things for a purpose. In verse 26, then came the word of Yahweh. That's this. Thank you. You're like, yes. Right there, just flip the switch. Behold, I am Yahweh, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What Yahweh is telling us, he's not just the mighty one of Israel. He's not just the mighty one of you and me. He's the mighty one of all flesh. It's just that they don't know it. See? And that's where we come in. We're inspired of Yahweh to share that with them, to let them know who their mighty one is. The living El is, yes, the mighty one of Israel. But who is Israel? Israel are those who rule with El. We have to walk with them. We have to keep the covenant. See, anybody can say I'm Israel, but the proof is in the doing. Are we keeping the covenant? If you're keeping the covenant, you can claim to be a part of Israel. But if you're not keeping it, you can't claim it. Therefore, in verse 28, thus says Yahweh, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set this city on fire and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal. For the Chaldeans, worshippers of Yahweh? No. See, so what Yahweh will do, he'll use the enemy of my enemy. He'll use whoever he will to accomplish his purpose. He took the Assyrians. Sent Jonah to the Assyrians. I got a job for you to do. And guess what? They repented. And the Assyrians were some mighty fierce people. But they heeded the word of Yahweh. They yielded. See? And guess what? Then they went too far. They decided, well, okay, he told us to take out Israel, and we took out the 10 northern tribes, now let's go after Judah. But he didn't tell them they could take Judah. So what happened? He destroyed the whole army. He destroyed the army, and the king went back to Assyria and got killed by his son. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Yahweh will use you. He is going to inspire you to do something for him. And once we realize our purpose, once we realize that we are being called to do something for him, it's easy. Life becomes easy because you know the direction that you have to go in. When Jonah decided, oh, I'm supposed to go to Nineveh, but he took a ship to Tarshish and then ended up in the water, in the belly of a dog gadol. Doesn't say whale, but it says a great fish. And then ended up where? In Nineveh. He still ended up where Yahweh wanted him to go. And this is what's going to happen to each one of us. We're going to end up where Yahweh wants us to be. But we have to choose to do what's right and do it for his honor and glory. And then when we do that, we'll receive the blessing. Okay? Doesn't mean it's going to be a high and mighty job. Doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, leading thousands of people. He may have chosen you just to reach one person. You understand? But once we understand what that purpose is and that will he has for our life, and we put that in the motion, we do what he wants us to do, we will receive that comfort and that blessing in our life. Jeremiah realized what he had to do. Now, Jeremiah didn't end up in Babylon. See? In verse 30, it says, "For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only that which was evil in my sight from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says Yahweh. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and of my wrath from the day that they built it, even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned to me the back and not the face. And though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it." And that's what the temple was. It was the house of Yahweh. It was the temple of Yahweh. It was called by his name. And it was there so that all the people of the earth would know that there was a mighty one in Israel. He is the living El. He's the only one that can perform the things that you need performed in your life. Verse 34, "But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Yet they did. They were following after the people around them." And that's why it's so hard for us with our young people to allow them to hang out with the wrong folk, right? Because, you know, they're going to teach you these things that they do. And if they're doing evil, it's going to come home as long as your kids are affiliated. Now, you think about this. A lot of us, you know, you want to blame other people for your sins, but you can't. You have to own it. You have to take those sins upon yourself, because just because your neighbor might say, "Hey, you know, we're going out to the sacred grove over here, and we're going to make this sacrifice, some pork chops. We're going to at the sacrifice. We're having a pig roast. That's what we call it today, a pig roast. You know, and we want you to join us. You don't have to go. You can witness to them and say, Yahweh says no. You know, inspire them with the word of Yahweh and say, look, you know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but strictly, it says, hey, I'm not even supposed to touch the carcass of the pig. See, not just eat it. I'm not even supposed to touch the carcass of it. See? So I'm not going to defile myself with your offerings. I'll decline to go. You know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but truly, I'd rather serve Yahweh rather than men. I'm not trying to please you. See? And this is where we have to be. And when we're inspired of Yahweh, this is where you will be. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 36. And now, therefore, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, concerning this city of which you say it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, and in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them again to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. So not only are they going to be regathered from out all of the nations that they've been driven to, they're going to be regathered back to Jerusalem. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and of their children after them, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from following them, to do them good, and I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me. Now, I want to go over to this NIV and read Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40. Well, I'll start in verse 39. It says, I will give them the singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. See, the word of Yahweh says he's not going to stop doing good. He's always going to be there for us. And the rest of the verse here, and I will inspire them to fear me. Are you inspired of Yahweh, brother? Because he's going to inspire you to fear him. He's going to always do good to you, so that they will never turn away from me. This is what Yahweh says. So they would never turn away from me. He wants his people to have this relationship with them. And you think about a father and a child, the relationship. I don't know what relationship you may have had with your father, your earthly parent. My father just passed away in April, 92 years old. He was a really easygoing man. You know, he worked hard most of his life, provided for his family. He was an excellent role model as far as an example. You know, he tried to support us and what we were doing and what we believed. Now, Yahweh is even greater than any man as far as the relationship you can have with him, as far as the support that you can gain from him, the things that he'll do for you, the trouble that he'll take you out of. We'll finish up in Jeremiah 32, verse 41. It says, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus says Yahweh, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Now, we've seen from not only history, but from this book, we see the promises of what Yahweh has done for Israel. The question is, because they've forsaken him, okay? We have to be faithful. Because he says that he's going to bring all this good that he's promised us. All we have to do is be faithful. Now, it says in verse 43, the fields and fields shall be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate, without man or beast. It is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe the deeds and seal them and call witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of the lowland and in the cities of the south, for I will cause your captivity to return, says Yahweh. See, that was his surety to Jeremiah. By the way, because I'm going to cause the people to return. You still have your inheritance. Now, in the 50th year of the Jubilee, all the land would go back to the original owners. You could not sell it forever. If you sold any of your inheritance in Israel, it could only be sold for 49 years. Because in the 50th year, it returned back to the family that originally owned it. Numbers chapter 11. Are you inspired of Yahweh? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Verse 16. Numbers 11:16. And Yahweh said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the spirit which is upon you, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone. He's speaking to Moses. Okay. And say to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. But you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore Yahweh will give you flesh, and you shall eat. And you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils. And it be loathsome to you because you have rejected Yahweh who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we come forth out of Egypt? And that's something we can't do, brother. We can't go back. We can't go back. And we can't wish we were back. We have to keep moving forward to the kingdom. In verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and you have said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month? Shall flocks and herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And Yahweh said to Moses, has Yahweh's hand become short? Again, people don't want to give Yahweh enough credit. There's nothing impossible for Yahweh. You think about your life. If there's anything in it that you feel as an obstacle or a hurdle that you can't get over, what do? Pray. See? A lot of people get worried. But, you know, the question is, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you pray, don't worry. Because if you trust Yahweh, which is what we have to do, he's going to bless us. He's going to give us those promises, those things that he knows we have need of. Now, he told them he was going to give them food, flesh, enough for 30 days. Now you see whether my word shall come to pass to you or not. The word of Yahweh will come to pass in your life, brother. If you believe, if you have faith, this is what we've been dealing with that series on Moses. See, you have to have faith enough to understand when it's time to step out of the way and let Yahweh take over. You can only go so far because you're limited. And Moses, that's what he did. He got to that point where he realized he had some questions. He had some concerns. And Yahweh answered each one of them. See? He answered each, oh, I'm not too good to speak. You got Aaron. Take Aaron. You understand? He solved every problem, and he's going to do it in your life as well. Whatever obstacles you feel you have between you and the kingdom, Yahweh will move right out of the way. You just have to trust him. And Moses went out in verse 24 and told the people the words of Yahweh. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around the tent. And Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took the spirit that was upon him and put it upon the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not so again. They only did it that one time. But there remained two men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but had not gone out of the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad prophesied in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, answered and said, my leader Moses forbid them? And Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? If only all Yahweh's people were prophets, that the Yahweh would put his spirit upon them, and Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And this is what Yahweh wants. He wants all of his people to be prophets. He wants all of his people to have that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to go forth to be able to show people, not just the neighbors. He wants everybody to be able to see that light that is in each and every one of you. See, if we're inspired of Yahweh, that light is going to be evident. When someone looks in your eyes, when someone looks upon you, they'll say, that's one of Yahweh's people. And they see that in you. And they want to glorify Yahweh because they know you're one of his people. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from the morning to the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning to evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of Elohim. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and I make them to know the statutes of Elohim and his law. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, this, the thing that you do is not good. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone. Now listen to my voice. I will give you counsel, and Elohim be with you. For the people, be for the people a representative of Elohim, and bring the cases to Elohim. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and shall show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. So Jethro is giving them some really good advice on how to handle this situation. He says in verse 21, moreover, you shall select out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons, the Moedim, the spiritual season. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. so that it will be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with you. If you shall do this thing and Elohim command you so, then you shall be able to endure, and all of his people also shall go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, the rulers of 10. And they judged the people in all seasons. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. See, so Jethro was inspired of Yahweh to direct his son-in-law. Not all of us will listen to our father's father-in-law, but he was a priest in Midian. He did know some things. He did worship Yahweh. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we have a passage speaking of the sweet psalmist of Israel. And then again, when you turn to that in the NIV, I want to see what it says. 2 Samuel 23, we're going to read verses 1 to 7, but verse 1 is the one I'm interested in knowing what it says, because I had picked up several scriptures, and I'm going to have you look them up for that one. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. We're going to read actually more than that. Okay, all right. See, in my Bible, it doesn't say this. It says, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of a man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the Elohim of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. Now, this is in the NIV, and the version I have, it says, now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, says, and the man who was raised on high says, the anointed of the Elohim of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, that term, oracle, is not in this version. But that term is the inspired. It's translated inspired. And I can look it up. Oh, man, I got a lot of things open here. But I can show what it says in the Hebrew in a minute. But let's just go through the verse. It says, verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The Elohim of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, one that rules over men righteously, that rules in the fear of Elohim. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun arises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth, through clear shining after rain. Truly my house is not so withal, yet he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for it is all my salvation and all my desire, although he makes it not to grow, but the lawless shall be all of them as thorns to be thrust away, because they cannot be taken with the hand. But the man that touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they shall be utterly burnt with the fire in their place. The wicked are like the thorns. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be burnt. But see, these inspired words, David was inspired of Almighty Yahweh. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. the words of Agur, the son of Jaki, the oracle. Man says to Ithiel, that you call.
Yes, it is.
It says here in the NIV, the sayings of Agur, the son of Jaki, an oracle. And they have a little footnote here. It's so small. It talks about who he is. This man declared to Ithiel, and to Yukal, the oracle, the inspired speaking. And then over in Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. And then it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which his mother taught him. And that's the inspired, the inspiration. That word oracle means inspired. See? Now, Almighty Yahweh has inspired us to not only learn of him, but to gain this knowledge for his purpose, his honor, his glory. It's not for our own. And see, too many people, that's the problem. See, they come to Yahweh, and they come to Yahweh for the wrong reason. Yes, he will bless you. He will lift you up. He will give you everything you have need of. But you have to come to him so that he can use you, so he can make you the best person you can be. And that's what he did for Moses. See, Moses had been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a general in the Egyptian army. And the Egyptian army at that time was the mightiest in the world. They were the number one nation, just like the U.S. is, you know, on its way down. Yes. What happens is, though, Yahweh went in, took out what he wanted. Moses was revealed to his people. He didn't know he was an Israelite. He thought he was an Egyptian.
Right.
And then it came to his attention, oh no, you're one of my people. See? And even his people rejected him at first, went out in that wilderness for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness until he got his burning bush experience. And then he realized who Yahweh was. Yahweh revealed himself to Moses. Set them back. And Moses made every excuse in the book of not to go back because, you know, they had sought to kill him. But no, they are dead, those who sought to kill you. So you go back and do what I'm asking you to do. And Moses got to the point where he realized, okay, I'm going. You know, and he went. But he realized that it wasn't him that needed to do these things. Yahweh was with him. And that's who we are, brethren. Yahweh is with each and every one of us. He's the one that has inspired us to do his will. So when you go out here and you're doing Yahweh's will and his work, it's not you. It's him. He's just using you. You're a vessel. That's all. We're vessels of his Holy Spirit. And we can accomplish whatever he wants us to do. See? That's where we come to that realization. And that's when we fall down on our knees and realize, hey, it's not me. It's you. It's truly Yahweh that's doing and performing all the miracles. Too often people want the glory. But that glory belongs to him and him only. Okay? And I'm telling you, it's important that for us to get to that point where we realize that it's only Yahweh. He's the only reason that we're here. Over in Matthew chapter 23, this is Yahshua speaking. He says, then spoke Yahshua to the multitudes and to his disciples. See, Yahshua was inspired as well. He was very much so inspired. See, because he spoke from the Father. He said, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not you after their works? For they say and do not. Yes, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. And that's where we have to, you know, make that separation. What we do, we don't need to be seen of men. We're going to do it for Yahweh's honor and glory. We want him to receive the glory. We want him to receive the blessing. For they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, their prayer shawls. And they walk around and they love the chief place at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. And the salutations in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi. But be you not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And that's where we get where Yahweh wants us to be. Our greatest servant was Yahshua the Messiah. He came and died for each and every one of our sins. He's the one that girded himself, got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. He served us and he showed us by giving his life that he is a great servant. And this is what we have to be. Each one of us has to learn to be that servant. And once we've accomplished that, then we can go on and serve further, doing Yahweh's will. It says, but he that is great among you shall be your servant, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. And we want the praise of Yahweh, not the praise of men. That's important to us. The praise of Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to peoples. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And this is what I'm saying. Yahweh's glory is going to be seen upon each of his people. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitude of the camels shall cover you. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the owls shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of Yahweh Elohim and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. See, Yahweh is the one that's going to glorify each one of us. We don't have to try to glorify ourselves. We're to give glory to Yahweh. And when we give him glory and praise, guess what? comes back. Remember, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You receive a blessing. See? You want to see somebody blessed? How? You're supposed to do the blessings of Israel. We bless Israel, we receive the blessing in return. He who curses Israel will receive the curses. It's very important that we understand that law of reciprocity. It's a law. If you roll a stone, it's going to roll back on you. You dig a pit for somebody else, you're going to fall in it. See, our hearts have to be golden. We have to show that love even to our enemy. And when we get to that point where we can love our enemy, we have arrived. That's where Yahweh wants us to be. He wants us to get to that point. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's not for us to go out and seek vengeance on someone else that has done something negative to us.
Right.
We're supposed to pray for them. Am I correct? Here in Isaiah 60, it says, verse 10, and foreigners shall build up your walls, and the king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I had mercy on you. Your gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nation, and their kings live captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending to you. Did that not happen to Joseph? Oh, absolutely. And you shall bow them, and all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through you, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of my generation. You shall also suck the milk of the nation and suck the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov, Jacob. For bronze I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood bronze, and for stones iron. I will also make your officers peace and your exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, desolation or destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But Yahweh will be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim, your glory. Your sun shall be no more, your sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it. And it's time. Truly, Almighty Yahweh is blessing each day. Are you an inspiration for Yahweh? Each one of us must be an inspiration. Each one of us must give that praise to Yahweh who deserves it. See? People will praise you, but it tells us in the Word that a man shall be tried by his praise. Are you going to succeed or fail based on that praise? Too many people get a big head, like the Pharisees. They wanted that praise. They just loved it. Who else wants that praise? Satan the devil. You understand? He wants to steal and usurp that which belongs to Yahweh. But we got to give it to Yahweh because he's the one that deserves it, not any of us. So may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you continue to be an inspiration for Yahweh. I'm going to ask Brother Davis if you would come and close with a word of prayer at this time.
Almighty Yahweh, we praise and thank you for this day, this time, this moment, and your word, will, and way. Praise and thank you for the strength that you're placing on our faith so that we're fortified in trying times. We ask that you would allow discernment to be strengthened in your word as well, and strengthen us to have the peace during judgment. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow we, your children, and your spirit to be stirred up to spread your word as we go forth and go out on a daily basis. We ask for forgiveness right now so that you, Mighty One, don't have to kill us. Many of we, your children, through some trying things and trifling things at times, we ask for forgiveness right now and allow us to walk in the newness of life as we go forward. We ask for the forgiveness for the defilement of thy holy temple, which we are, so that your spirit can inhabit us. We ask that you will forgive us for the things we've done to our bodies and the things we've done to ourselves. We ask that you would allow us to be able to be in one way with you and quicken us to fear you in all ways and all things. Keep our faith, keep us faithful as we strive to be faithful. Strengthen us to keep moving forward. Don't let us fall and wander and die in a wandering way. We ask that you would deliver us this day. Allow us to be able to trust you, Yahshua, and Yahweh, and your spirit. And allow we, your children, the light of Yahweh to burn bright. Humble us to receive the word of wisdom from those that you have placed around us, because many of us don't humble him. Many of us don't humble ourselves so that we are able to receive a word. So allow us to be humble so that we can receive a word. Heal us from the identity crisis many of us have. We didn't know that we were your children. We thought we was everything under the sun but a child of yours. So we ask that you would heal us for it, and we praise and thank you from that this day. And allow us to know that you, Yahweh, you're the one doing the work, and we're just an instrumental, a vessel you use to get the work done. Strengthen us to know that the praise goes to you, and allow us to come together to the place that we should be to play for blessings for Israel. And we ask these and all of our blessings this day. Bless Elder Davis and Sister Davis. Seal this word in us so that we're able to go forward. In Yahshua's name we praise and thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 22, Holy Unto You. That's number 22.
You can get all right now.